Hello, Penny here. Today on my garden podcast.
Okay, so this is the cordyline.
Between you and me, I realise that I'm actually a bit of a snob. You see a lot of these as a centrepiece in a municipal bed. Bit of a water and we're sorted in cordyline corner. So pleasing.
Come on, Jerry. Come on.
Good boy. Oh, he's hot.
Oh, you're a hot dog, aren't you, darling? You don't know what to do with yourself.
No, don't eat that. Jerry's very attracted to boggy water, basically. Anything that's slightly off, green looking. He'll drink from dirty puddles. So, of course, that stagnant water lying in the bottom of that window box is going to attract Joey. Look, Joey.
Oh, see ya.
Right. Let's get the kit for the job in hand. We need secateurs, gloves. How many times have you started a gardening job excitedly without any gloves on and then regretted it because your hands feel really odd afterwards? And also they say if you're handling compost you should wear gloves and things. Yeah, I've had a few thorns and prickles and weird rashes and whatnot from doing all that kind of stuff. So yeah, gloves are my new friend. I have about three pairs. I get a bit sweaty, to be honest. Anyway, right, so let's go round to what I'm gonna now call cordyline corner. I'll explain why. So if you're looking face on, you've got the hover house, which again I've explained in a previous episode about why it's called the hover house, but essentially it's a summer house. It's on an angle in the long lawn to try and break up that kind of rectangle thing that goes on in gardens, narrow gardens. And on the left hand side is sheltered from the sun. I've put a clematis, a winter flowering clematis up there. It really doesn't like the sun. I've tried it in the sun, you'd think, wouldn't you, sunshine, but no. So anyway, that's doing its thing. But on the right hand side I've created a small triangle bed which kind of juts out from the side of the summer house, and in it I've got a beautiful thing called Mighty Fill, which has a better name in Latin, obviously, but I can't pronounce it and can't remember it, so that's that. But Phil basically comes to life every year and has these brilliant feather duster style stalks, which eventually, very sort of unmasculine for a name like that, sort of come very flamboyantly out of the top of these big feathery... But Joey, why does he like just standing on stuff? Like getting up tall. Do you want to come in for a cuddle? Yeah? Oh dear. No, you can't have my gloves. Okay, so we've got Mighty Fill, which has nice pink blooms in a few weeks' time. Next to that is the most magnificent 2 foot tall rhubarb plant. Now, rhubarb, apparently, according to the instructions and my mum, you can't harvest it or use it in the first 2 years it grows. So I'm just letting it do its thing. I'm anticipating beautiful rhubarb crumble in January, February, because I'll have had it 2 years by then. But for now, it's just absolutely loving it. It is shaded, all of that little triangle bed is shaded by the wisteria, which I have no idea how old it is, but it is magnificent. Now I used to have wisteria, I was a bit snippy with it. I was a bit, we'll get in there in January, February time. I would cut it hard back hard, whatever you call it, but right down basically to, you know, about a meter off the ground. And then it would absolutely rampantly run up whatever it was trained against and grow again the following summer. But I wanted to train it into a tree. Now, I think that's a bit ambitious, to be honest, to have a wisteria tree. I had Googled it, I had looked for it, and it is possible, but I don't think it's naturally predisposed to being a tree, this thing, no matter how much I sort of cut it back. So what I found was a thing called a tuteur, which is a 2 meter high flute-shaped frame which I then placed over the top of the trunk, and then the following summer trained the wisteria up through its various laddery type frame options. It's cast iron, it's black cast iron flute, it's very heavy. It's pegged into the ground with some serious metal pegs so it doesn't fall over. And in fact, I don't think it would go anywhere now anyway, because the wisteria is really holding onto it. You know what wisteria does? It kind of grabs around something, and before you know it, it's lifted a cast iron or metal fence out of the ground just because it's so strong. And what I followed Mike next door's method of just not touching it, of not cutting it back, of not dealing with it, because he's got a lovely one next door. Mike's wisteria bush is very impressive, I have to say. It grows all over the top of their big shed in the back of the garden. It looks really magnificent. Anyway, so I've left it, and it's just kept on growing. It's growing over the top of the summer house. It's providing a bit of shade on the sort of porch area of the summer house. And it was so rewarding this spring to see lots and lots of these beautiful dangling, almost chandelier type grapes, bunches of grapes and petals in white, smelt gorgeous. And I also spotted a few purple ones. I've never seen a combo like that. I've seen a lot of people have them on the fronts of their houses. They're just so different and really stand out. They don't flower for a very long time, but when they do, they're gorgeous. And a lot of people have purple. This is white, but now it's showing signs of purple, so I don't quite know why it would be changing its colour. Hopefully that'll be a thing, because the purple's really pleasing. Anyway, back to why this is called, from now on, the Cordyline Corner. Between you and me, my husband saw a cordyline in the garden centre. Now, a cordyline is, in fact, let's go and have a look at it. A cordyline is a burgundy spear-shaped palm type deal. Okay, let's go through here. So hover house is still standing. So this is the cordyline. Purple spears, red star is its name, this one. £9. Blimey. Okay, so it's very pretty. It's like a waterfall. It shoots up, and then a waterfall of palmy sort of... Oh, it doesn't flower. It doesn't do anything other than look very fine. And it's burgundy, and it's got this delicious sort of red pinstripe down all the way down the back, or piping, if you like, of red, reddy orange. So it's got a nice colour to it, and it looks great with green, of which we have a lot. So he brought it home, went, hey, let's put this in the ground. And you know what? I realised that I'm actually a bit of a snob when it comes to being a bit more creative than that. And you see a lot of these as a centrepiece in maybe a municipal bed or roundabout. You might see them surrounded by a circle of brightly coloured geraniums, surrounded by another circle of white bedding plants. And they're great because they don't need any maintenance, so I understand why you might use them. And they've got height, and it does offer a sort of structural variance, you know, in what you're planting. So not everything is so down on the ground, it's really quite upright. But I don't want to make this a centerpiece at all. But I think what can happen is if I put it in just behind the rhubarb and next to Mighty Phil, it will really complement those plants, lift them. And what you'll have, or what I'll have, I will have, is a nice depth of vision, depth of field, I think that's the right word. So that when you walk past the wisteria, your eye is actually drawn behind it, not just to the green of the rhubarb and the pink of the Mighty Phil, but also this sort of purple, burgundy, spiky plant, which offers a bit of difference, I think, in a garden. Everything's very rounded, isn't it, in planting, and green and rounded. But if you can offer a bit of a spike, that adds interest. So, Cordyline Corner, here we come. Before I drown the thing, let's just check that it needs water, doesn't need water. Here we go. I'm reading the label now. Beautiful picture on the front. Turn it over. It's the Cordyline Red Star. Partial sun. Tick. Dig a hole slightly deeper and wider than the root ball. Remove from pot position, plant replace soil around root ball, firmen and water well. Okay, so we're going to do that, but I'm not going to water the hole first. Just don't think it needs it. It's quite damp around here anyway. And also, I'm guessing this is a hot climate plant that doesn't deserve too much attention on the watering. Tick. So I've got my hole ready. I'm just, it's quite easy to remove. I'm just going to get rid of this label because once it's in, you kind of don't need that. Might keep it in the shed just for a bit of reference if I get a bit lost or forget what it needs if it's got an issue. Okay, so there you go, cordline. Dug the hole already. Because that's quite boring radio listening, isn't it? Listening to someone dig a hole. The slug heading for the hedge there, lovely. Yeah, I think it's difficult to tell, isn't it? Should it go up a bit more? No, I'm going to keep it low. So I'm moving the soil back in. Ah, I didn't wear my gloves. You see? Right. The rhubarb leaves are so enormous. They are wonderful. I mean, it's just... it's like a plant that is, it should be in Day of the Triffids or something. It's got kind of sci-fi element to it. It's very pleasing and grows very quickly. So, putting a bit of soil in, backfilling around the hole, that's the professional term. And there's a bit of soil in the wheelbarrow, obviously, from where it came out. I'm just gonna put a bit more on top. Doesn't need much. I saw this actually. Or loam, as we might say. Nice loam. Give it some nice loam. Oh yeah, that looks really nice. Really nice. I'm sorry I was a snob about it. I really am. And that's just being mean to my very gorgeous and generous husband who thought of buying it. He thought it would look good. I didn't share my snobbery with him, obviously. I went, oh, that's nice, that'll look really good behind that other plant so we can't really see it very well. No, but actually that does look really nice. Pleased with that. Oh, now it needs to stand up straight, doesn't it, or else it'll affect my OCD levels. The straightness, I straighten people's other people's paintings in their houses. It's kind of rude, isn't it? But I can't relax unless they're straightened. Same with my plants, they've got to be upright as much as they can. Okay. Bit of a water and we're sorted in cordyline corner. So pleasing. To the water butt again. You can hear me over the high-powered water butt coming out. You know, you dig a hole twice the width of the root ball and the depth, backfill around it, press it in, give it a good drink, and there you go. But it doesn't feel repetitive, and every situation is different, obviously. But there's a rhythm, isn't there, to something like that? You don't have to think about too much, which is why I think gardening is super relaxing. Oh, let's get away from the mosquitoes. They're disgusting. They are literally, you could put a saddle on the backs of those things. You wouldn't expect it, would you, in a garden in the northwest of England to be basically in a position where you have to mosquito spray up every time you leave the house into the garden, because at the bottom of our garden, which I've said is very long, is a series of fishing ponds, some sort of angler's paradise down there, which is great because it means the land will probably never be built on. It operates as a flood barrier for when there is heavy rain, and is pretty, you know, there's a lot of trees around it and it's peaceful, so brilliant. But it does mean around the stagnant water there is Just mosquitoes ready to eat you at any time. And they come really far up towards the house. They like literally knock on the back door at the beginning of the summer and go, we smell you. We're coming for you. We do have to wear really, really powerful mosquito repellent. Right, let's get this cord line watered and then call it a day. Here's a rhubarb little drink while I'm here. Right, another little job to tackle, the last job to tackle. I said let's call it a day. That's what I do. I go, right, that's it for me. I'm done. Ooh, I've just seen that thing I need to do. I'll just carry on. And then before you know it, it's 7 o'clock in the evening and that's all you've been doing is just one job after another.